It's no secret the media landscape in Canada looks pretty dire to both journalists and consumers. Funding challenges, declining audience engagement, and a lack of trust are impacting local and national news outlets. Because of this, journalists are looking for new approaches to reporting. One of these avenues, Engage Journalism, aims to help rebuild trust with audiences and communities. Welcome to Re-Engaging, where we explore a new way of doing journalism. This four-part series will explore engaged journalism through a Canadian lens, what it can look like, and its successes and challenges. Each episode features conversations with academics and media makers from across the journalistic landscape, who gathered at Concordia University last June to discuss various ethical considerations and practical applications for newsrooms and universities. I'm your host, Gabriela Perdomo, and in this episode, we're considering how to fund engaged journalism projects. As you've heard throughout this podcast series, journalism is facing a lot of challenges, from ethical considerations, ways to rebuild public trust, and roadblocks to teaching engaged approaches. There are many factors to consider when practicing engaged journalism. But one of the biggest factors often just comes down to dollars and cents. Meg Wilcox sits down with Anna Sophia Yvonne, André Goulet, and Gaëlle Engelberts to discuss financial roadblocks that they face and how they continue to overcome them.
So I just first wanted to start, I'll ask each of you your name and your title, and then we'll sort of talk a bit about the facilitated session today and any other thoughts you might have from that as well. So I'll start with you, Anna Sophia.
My name is Anna Sophia Yvon, and I'm a program manager at the Inspirit Foundation.
I'm André Goulet, I'm the director at Harbinger Media, Canada's progressive podcast community, and the community organizer at Unrigged, Canada's progressive journalism community.
I'm Gaëlle Engelberts. I'm the founder of a hyper-local news organization in the My Land, so it's a neighborhood in Montreal, Quebec.
Awesome. So actually, Gaëlle, I wanted to talk just briefly, describe your publication.
Started as a newsletter, and now it's a newsletter and a website. It's mainly run by volunteers. I mean, for the longest time, I hardly pay myself a salary, so we're really, I think, a community-based news organization that has positive sides, and you know, it comes also with challenges. But the response to just having a news organization in the neighborhood has been so great, and I think people are just so happy to hear about what's happening around them, and especially when it's told by people that live there. So I think that's also a really important part of what we're doing, is it's not told by outsiders. You know, the stories are told by people that live in the community, and they're stories that are just would never be told. And it, you know, we're thinking of maybe some more trivial stories, but there are some also really important stories about, you know, not enough spaces in local schools, and they don't get picked up by the national media, these stories, and they're important for the community. They're important also for creating a sense of community. So people are proud to live there. They're proud to know their neighbors. It covers like many things. So it's just journalism, but it also fosters a sense of community. Yeah.
And I'm curious about the audience. So, I mean, obviously it's tied to a neighborhood, but like, is it just from the neighborhood? What ideas of numbers, what you might want to share about your audience?
Like the regular readership is about like 10% of the population right now. We've been doing that for 3 years. But it's interesting because there's also some people that used to live in the neighborhood that want to know what's happening nowadays but don't live there. And I guess the Myland is a special area in the sense that it's also very touristic. So a lot of tourists come there. So we're also kind of, I mean, that's not the primary focus, but there's definitely people reading about what's happening in the neighborhood because they want to visit and they want to see what's cool things to do or things like that. Yeah.
And I was going to say, André, when looking at your work, it's a bit different in that it's a network of different small producers, if you wanted to give a bit more detail on that.
Mm-hmm. So Unrigged is 25 publishers across Canada doing journalism that can be at a national level or a micro level as well. So there's the New Brunswick Media Co-op, there's the Hoser in Toronto, there's the Independent in St. John's, there's Progress Alberta in Edmonton. The different publishers all approach journalism from kind of a progressive perspective. It's broad, but it's very much journalism driven by like connections with academic communities, lots of podcasts, video, and et cetera.
And so, Anna Sophia, I also want to give you a chance to just describe the InSpirit Foundation for those who are unfamiliar.
Yeah, so InSpirit Foundation is a public foundation, so a philanthropic foundation that is based in Toronto. And we fund arts and media projects across Canada with a big focus on journalism. So part of that is giving grants to smaller publications, digital most for the most part. But our focus is really on how do we support a journalism sector and industry that is more equitable so that eventually we see more stories and narratives that advance racial equity, social justice, economic equity. And part of that for us is funding journalism, but also bringing other funders to the table, because we know that in Canada there isn't a lot of journalism philanthropy. And by that I mean funding from private or public philanthropic foundations that is going to supporting quality journalism across the country.
So one of the sessions this afternoon was how do we work on funding journalism, which is the million or multi-million dollar question, I guess we could say. What were some of the topics or themes that sort of stood out? And if we at this point just want to pop up a hand, and I'm happy to toss the mic to whoever would like to speak.
It's exciting to see everyone being really creative about different realms of funding, and it's something that I think is diversifying. There's the traditional podcast or independent journalism space of doing a Kickstarter, doing a Patreon, having a memberful account, and raising money through individual supporters. But being able to broaden the scope of how we access funding for our work is really important. And at the conference today, I think people were really exploring what will that look like in the coming years with things like now the funding from Google through Bill C-18, with foundations like InSpirit who are working to try to elevate journalism in Canada, and others too.
And I guess the question is sort of, you know, what are some of the challenges other than, I mean, we all need money, but what are some of the specific challenges that you see in terms of funding for independent media or engaged journalism?
Well, one of the pieces that I found particularly interesting in the conversation that Gael and I moderated is around how do we talk about journalism to people who are not journalists and who might not understand journalism's value, so that in conversations about journalistic revenue or about funding for journalism, we're not talking about saving the journalism industry, but rather talking about what is the value of journalism to society, to democracy, to civic engagement, to equity, to any topic that you care about. By doing that, you're explaining why it's worth funding journalism, and then you're able to attract folks that might not think about journalism as something that needs to be funded, right? So you're presenting journalism as a service, not as a product. I think that conversation around how do we talk about journalism is a particularly important one.
Just for a second, I love that, like, thinking of it as a service, not a product, because with the economic realities of how people consume their news now, and with the, like, rapid unraveling of how people perceive news because of how they get their news from Facebook, not their Canadian news, but their AI-generated images and whatever, it's really important to just be creative and think of new ways of elevating the social importance of the work we do.
If I can add to that, it's, yes, about journalism as a service, but journalism as a function, so as a function of democracy, as a function of community well-being, as a function of us being able to have healthy dialogue that combats polarization, combats misinformation. I think it's service not in the commercial capitalist way, but more in the function that it plays.
That's something that came a lot throughout the conference or talking with some of the people that attended, and through my daily work is really education. So the people that read what we do, you know, what's the role of community journalists? What's the limits? Are we too involved? Are we independent enough? Somehow as a journalist, there's some things that I take for granted, and I realize that not everybody sort of knows, you know, should somebody be allowed to read my story before I publish. I have some people in the community that ask me for a specific project they have for the neighborhood, and I have to explain that I'm there to talk about the news, but I'm not going to champion their own projects. And then from the business side, there's also the advertisers. So there's so much education involved that I wasn't expecting when I started the project. So on the audience side, on the business side, you know, why is it important to have local news? Some local businesses are happy with Facebook advertising through Meta or Google. I think education is really key.
Putting forward a model, though, like you do, for what neighborhood-driven journalism looks like is really important. Mile End is, like, what, a neighborhood of 50,000 or something like that?
25,000.
25,000. But adjacent to the plateau, like, there is an audience of people who would love to know what's going on in their neighborhood, but they're not going to get that from any kind of mainstream news. So I think the newsletter is a really fun way of having this sort of really deep connection because it's super accessible, it's in people's email boxes, and it feels like something that's beginning to take off more and more for like very almost neighborhood driven journalism. So I love what you're doing. Yeah.
And you know, if we're thinking a bit to what the solutions might be or opportunities, I'm thinking for funding, what's on your minds right now? Is it a certain way that you think is going to work well for certain publications, or something that might be the future for funding, or yeah, what are questions that you might have about it?
I think there's definitely a lot of interest in philanthropy because it's sort of an area where we see it work in the US, and we're wondering, you know, how we can make it work here in Canada or in Quebec. But I find it so interesting. I spend a lot of my time reading case studies, and there are so many ways. You know, some people have events, they sell merchandise, the New York Times have games, you know, there's so many ways. So I don't think it's what's lacking is all these different ways. It's just finding the mix that works for your community, and we don't have the huge resources and a lot of time. So I think I have so many ideas, but you know, just like, you know, so many hours a week that I can use to explore these ideas. So yeah, no, it's an exciting time and there are many, many opportunities, but it's hard to focus and find the right ones. Yeah.
Facebook censorship of Canadian news has been a sort of crystallizing moment because I'm not sure before Bill C-18 and the fallout from that, anybody really thought too hard about, like, does Facebook, Instagram actually work for how we bring in more audience? Because it does work for some, but, you know, by and large in independent Canadian media, it's a real grind to try to get enough support just through social media. So now that that's not there anymore, we're having to think creatively, and I think we're having to think a lot about collaboration, about outreach to foundations that maybe are beginning to think about how to engage with journalism. So it's a new paradigm, so it's a scary time, but it's an exciting time, but it becomes less scary by having people come together at conferences like this, where they're having conversations and meeting each other face-to-face and building relationships. I think, for myself, I'm coming out of today with a sense of optimism and some hope about how things will come out in the future.
Yeah, I would add to that the spaces that conferences like today offer for people to share are super important, because in this conversation about funding and what works and what doesn't, nothing will work for everyone. And it's very important for people to share what are they standing on, what's their background, where did they come from, how did they find their funding, because what works for one person in one community won't work in another. And I think that's true of membership models, it's true of philanthropy, it's true of advertising. It's very, very variable, and we have to be able to share and learn from others. Philanthropy for sure is one revenue channel that is being discussed more and more in these spaces, and I think that's good. I also don't think it's not a silver bullet. It's not going to solve the crisis of revenue models in media, but it is one factor to consider. And again, there it's important to discuss, to have bridges between funders and news organizations so that they can speak the same language. And that's part of the work that InSpirit has been trying to do over the last year, is to help build that bridge and provide some shared best practices.
Last question I have is, we'll sort of get to wrap up, but one of the questions that came up at the table was, how can universities or academics support in terms of funding, or are there options for connection? And I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that connection.
Something that Unrigged and Harbinger do a lot is connect with people who are in academia to, you know, maybe they host a show, maybe they contribute journalism to some of these websites. And I think breaking down barriers between academia and journalism, maybe it's not a new thing, but it's something we don't always focus on. That's necessary, perhaps, because the funding that sometimes is part of academia can be really helpful for certain kinds of journalism. And building bridges there, I think, is becoming more and more important.
So if someone was to come up to you and maybe they have their own publication or they're trying to make it right now as, you know, a journalist working in community, what is the one piece of advice you'd give them around funding or something they should consider?
Perseverance. Stick at it. I know anyway, most of my focus in the last year has been getting advertising dollars, and it's been really hard, and then I realized that's it. You don't give up. You go once, you go twice, you go three times, and sometimes after five times meeting somebody, whoops, something unblocks and get funding. So keeping at it, you know, not giving up.
It's like a dad thing to say, like, keep expenses low, avoid debt, like, try to keep it as simple as possible so that you can actually do the work. Because, yeah, it's tough to try to, like, make ends meet with journalism. So, like, keep it low key, and that doesn't mean don't be ambitious, but just keep it within the realm of what is possible.
I'd say think hard about what impact and value means to you and to your organization and to your community, so that you can clearly communicate it to the people that you want to get funding from, whether that is philanthropy or community members or advertisers or even government.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Meg.
Thank you.
That was Meg Wilcox, a professor in the School of Communication Studies at Mount Royal University. Ana Sofia Ibon, Program Manager at InSpirit Foundation in Montreal. André Goulet, Executive Director of Harbinger Media Networks in Montreal and Community Coordinator for Unrigged Media. And Gaëlle Engelberts, the founder of Mont Mile End, a hyperlocal news organization in Montreal. I'm Gabriela Perdomo, Editor-in-Chief of JSource. Thanks for listening to Reengaging. This series is a collaboration between JSource and the Community Podcast Initiative at Mount Royal University. Special thanks to the Engage Journalism Conference organizers, Magda Konieczna and Gabrielle Bassard-Lecourt, and to the CPI's co-director Meg Wilcox and journalism students Emma Miller and Kelsey Arnett at Mount Royal University for their work on this series. You can learn more about JSource at j-source.ca. And you can find the Community Podcast Initiative at thepodcaststudio.ca or on social media at CommunityPodYYC.